The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Very good. Thank you very much. Very much. Well, it's a real joy and an honour, a privilege to be able to preach this morning. This one last time and the first Sunday morning of a new year, a new decade. I really feel like God has a word for us as a church this morning. In fact, I feel like he's got five little words for us. I'm sure, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but when you start a new year, I like the start of a new year because it feels something like there's a fresh start, you know, a fresh season is coming. And you, if you're like me, you might like to think about the year ahead and be praying about what you want God to do in your life, you know, what are you expecting from the year. And I'm sure if we went around the room, you know, most of us would say, you know, that you're keen to grow in God this year. You're keen to get to know Jesus more and follow him more obediently. You're keen to see growth and multiplication in your life personally. I'm sure you're keen to see the church grow and multiply. Hopefully no one would say, oh, I just hope it's the same as it's always been. I'm sure in most of us is a sense of we want to move on. We want more of Jesus. We want more of him. We can't stay the same. We need Jesus. And a new year is a great time to take stock of some of those expectations and offer those prayers to the Lord. And I do feel like the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. And I feel that he wants to remind us about his prescribed method for growth and multiplication. Because God has a way of growing us. And he's pretty consistent with the way that he does it and the principles that he sticks by. And Scott preempted the sermon with the feeding of the 5,000. And we're going to look at that passage this morning from Matthew's gospel, from Matthew chapter 14. So if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to whip open Matthew chapter 14 from verse 13 to 21. The feeding of the 5,000s. All four gospels include this story, but it's Matthew's one I want to focus on this morning, and you'll see why in a moment. So we'll just quickly read the passage again from verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, that was John the Baptist's execution, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we have only five loaves here and two fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So the disciples were doing their best to show care and compassion for this crowd. They knew the crowd would be hungry, the location was remote, it's getting late. There's no logical way of finding enough food to them unless they were sent away to go find food. So that's what they suggest to Jesus. It was practical, it was pragmatic, it seemed like the wise thing to do. Send them away, Jesus, they've got to go find some food. You'd think Jesus would have said, yeah, that's a wise and pragmatic way of dealing with these people. You'd think Jesus would say, great idea, guys. But he didn't. He didn't. Instead of commending them for their wise request, he gives them an impossible task. They don't need to go away, Jesus said. You give them something to eat. And of course, their response reflects their mindset of the time, the pragmatic mindset that they had. We've only got five loaves and two fish. Let me pause there for just a second in the story. Do you know that Jesus is still in the business of giving his disciples impossible tasks? He hasn't stopped doing that. We haven't entered the age of pragmatism where logic rules all and we just do what's pragmatic at the time. No, Jesus is still the same today as he was back then. He's still in the business of giving his disciples impossible things to do. As individuals, whatever our ministries are, there will be times in our walk with him where he'll ask us to do something that we're physically not capable of doing. As a church here at Rangeville, you know, our call, bringing love, healing and freedom to the community. We are physically incapable of doing that with the resources that we have. We just can't do it. As a church in the city, you know, we're responsible for the community in which we live. We're supposed to be one together and minister to this community. We just can't do it. We don't have what it takes to do it, but Jesus still asks us to do it anyway. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And if we never find ourselves in that place where Jesus is asking us to do the impossible, we're probably not following Jesus. That's the raw fact of it. We follow a God who will ask us at points in time to do things that we are physically incapable of doing, that we lack the resources to do, that we just cannot pull off in our own strength. That's the God that we serve. Too bad if you don't like it. That's him. That's who he is. That's who he is. We continue the story. Now, the phrase that leapt out at me as I was preparing this week, it's only found in Matthew's account of this miracle, and that's why I wanted to focus on Matthew's story. In response to the disciples disclosing their measly resources, their five loaves and their two fish, what does Jesus say? He says five little words. Five little words. I think I might even have them. Bring them here to me. That's what God is saying to us as a church this morning. Rangeville, bring them here to me. You know, it's really tempting just to hold on to the little that we do have. And like the disciples, it's tempting to make the need go away. We want the need to go away, and we're just going to hold on to the little that we do have. Because at least we'll get some lunch, right? At least we'll get something. We need the need to go away. But as we begin another year, as we begin 2020, I feel the Lord saying to each one of us and to us as a church to bring our insignificant, our insufficient resources to Jesus. And this requires both sacrifice and trust in God. He asks that we bring him all that we have, laying down all that we have. It's a personal sacrifice that costs. You know, it reminds me of the story of Elijah and the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17. If you know the story, there's a severe drought in the land, and Elijah is sent to a particular town and to a widow, and he finds this widow in the town and asks her for something to eat. And the widow replies, I'm just going home to cook the last meal for me and my son. That's all we got left. We've got enough left for one little meal, and we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says to her, that's fine, you go and do that, but first, make something for me. Bring it to me. I'm like, Elijah, that's a bit presumptuous of you. Like, not even like, wait for the leftovers, but Elijah says, no, first, bring to me, out of the little resources, the insufficient resources that you have, a meal, and then make for yourself and your son. And then he gives them a prophetic word that the flour and oil that she has will not run out until the drought is broken. What would you have done if you were that widow? And the man of God comes to you and says, I know it's your last meal, but make something for me first. What would you have done? This poor widow. Of course, she obeys Elijah's word, believes the word of the Lord, gives of her insufficiency to him first. Elijah represents God and the purposes of God. And of course, God blesses her, multiplies growth in her, to supply for her needs until the drought is broken. In verse 19, back to Matthew 14, verse 19. After Jesus has taken possession of the loaves and the fish, you'll notice he does two things. And this is God's method for growth and multiplication. The first thing he does is he blesses it. And this is the good part. He blesses it. Jesus takes our insignificant, insufficient, measly resources. We bring it to him and he says a blessing over it. Thank you, Jesus. You're blessing my sacrifice. Hallelujah. We love it. Hashtag blessed. We love that part, don't we? We love the blessing of the Lord. We love it when he blesses what we give him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But that's only half of the equation of growth. If we want to grow in the things of God and move on in the things of God, there's a second half to the equation. And this part's not so good. The second thing that Jesus does is he breaks it. He takes the insufficient resources, he blesses it, and then he breaks it. Because Jesus knows it's only out of our brokenness that we can adequately minister the life of Jesus. Jesus has got to break our self-reliance, our pride, our human way of thinking, so that he can use us. Jesus isn't after strong people that have it all together. He's after broken people who bring measly offerings that he can bless and then break. Brokenness is the key to seeing multiplication and growth. Blessing and brokenness together. The blessing and the breaking must go together. And that part is hard. It's painful. We don't like to be broken. We don't like to go through hard times. We don't like the dealing of God in our lives because it hurts. But God needs to break us so that he can use us. Break what we have. Break our gifting. Break our whatever it is that he has to do to make us usable. There can be no growth and no multiplication without both the blessing and the breaking. Hear this, church. If you want to grow in God, you can study the scriptures all you like. You can come to a million church meetings, and that's good. We should do that. But if you want to grow in God, you've got to bring what you have to him, allow the blessing and the breaking, and then the multiplication comes, then the growth comes. This is God's prescribed method. This is the way that he works, and you see this pattern over and over again in the scriptures. And Jesus then, he gives our blessed and broken resources back to us. Jesus doesn't actually do the miracle. Of course, he is central to it, but he gives the blessed and broken resources back to the disciples. And then they hand out their insufficient, blessed but broken resources, and what happens? Multiplication. Growth, a miracle occurs. The impossible happens. And not only is the multitude provided for, but the disciples themselves benefit from the multiplication too. 12 basketfuls left over, way more than they started with. They benefited from this deal as well. See, growing with God, growing in God always, always has a cost. We cannot hang on to what we've got and still receive all that God has for us. We can't have our cake and eat it too. There's first a sacrifice, a stepping out without knowing what Jesus is going to do with what we've given him and trusting him for the return. He blesses the sacrifice, breaks it so that it's usable for his purposes. But how tempting it is just to hold on to what we've got. At least it feeds me. At least it feeds our little group here. A few months ago, I was reading a book by, I think it's a British author, Tim Chester. He really challenged me with these couple of quotes. He says, "Don't make your life so safe that you never have cause to notice the Spirit's work." And he goes on to say, "Don't complain that God never does anything dramatic in your life if you never attempt anything outside your comfort zone." There's truth to that. Jesus sums up the principle that I'm talking about this morning in this verse. I hope you can read that from John 12 and 24. "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Growth and multiplication only come through sacrifice, death, giving of ourselves totally to Jesus, and then he brings the increase. So this morning, church, I just feel like the Lord is saying to us, as you think about the year, you're thinking about the things that God is asking you to do, Maybe you have a sense of God asking you to do the impossible already. You're like, yeah, I know. He's asking me to do something I just can't do. Or he's saying, bring what you have to me. Bring them here to me. Take the risk by putting what you have in Jesus' hands and see what he might do with it. Perhaps you don't have a sense of God asking you to do the impossible at this point in time, but you will. This morning as we start this year, so at least start with the attitude of, yes, Jesus. Jesus, I want to grow in you this year. I want to see multiplication in my life, in my ministry, in this church, in this city. Jesus, let my attitude be one of whatever I have, I'm going to bring to you and offer it to you for you to use, for you to bless and break. God, I don't want to hold on to what I have just to protect it and look after it. God, I want to give it all. Let that be the attitude as we start the year. Let that be what gets us in to 2020, the start of a new year and a new decade. We're going to share communion in just a second. But just as we think about these things, I'd love to sing a song to you, and I'm going to invite the band to come and help me with it. It's actually a song that my wife Lacey wrote the lyric to, and based on this scripture. And as we sing it, can I just encourage you to reflect on your walk with the Lord and what Jesus is calling you to and what it means for you to bring what you have to him.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.